That's it, we're off. Well, could you just tell us how you got to Clapham? And that was because your father had an antique shop in the Nine Elms area?
Yes.
I see.
Yes. And then, you see, what happened was my dad, when he got on a bit, you see, the main road in Queenstown Road were very nice houses then. We thought we'd gone to the other end of the world when we left that area because it was so much nicer. It was a main road, nice house. And he saved enough money to buy this house for £400.
Really? You see? So he did quite well then.
And everybody that, yes, and every one of us that reached the age of 21 had £50 from us. A lot of money then.
Yeah.
You see, each one of us. Mm. And as I say, he worked very hard with his brains and was very, very fair. They wouldn't deal with anybody else for miles around, even
but
artists.
He had his own shop and then he went round to buy up people's
yes,
furniture.
Yes, put his cards round. Mm. Then he bought a pony and cart. Then he bought us a pony and trap 3 years later because everybody had got them, the well-to-dos along the main roads. They'd all had these pony and traps for years. And suddenly we had one to take us out after Sunday school on Sunday to Wimbledon Common.
So you were doing really well then?
Yes.
But you moved into this area where Mrs. Despard was active then, did you?
We lived there. We were brought up in that area.
I see. Then you moved out from there to this bigger house.
Yes, in Queenstown Road.
I see, yes.
And in that road, I was there, let me see, 3 years ago, we went up to London to stay with friends. I'd written to my old school. Had no reply. I wanted to try and contact one or two of the nice girls, but there was no reply. I waited and waited, and I said, my friend, can you put us up for a few days? I'd like to go and visit my old school. Of course, it wasn't there, it'd been knocked down. So, wandering around the place, there was this two-story masonette, Lady Despard Gardens.
I see, so they'd named that after?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, of course, I was thrilled. I said, well, fancy that. Well, it was about time somebody did something, I thought, you know, for all that good work. Probably some of the descendants of those people, I don't know.
But the local council probably were quite active.
Oh,
that,
yes, yes.
Yes.
You saw it with me, didn't you? You saw that with me, Despard Gardens, didn't you?
Yes.
But just a little block.
What was the, when you, if you can put yourself back to your childhood.
Yes.
What was this place like where you lived first?
Where we lived. Oh, my word, it was a poor place. Of course, all the men going out to the wars and all our Bible class chaps raised their ages, never came back. Oh, it was an area. And as I say, if it hadn't been for Mrs. Despard, I don't know what the people would have done.
What makes you say that? What did she do for the area?
Well, they opened up the soup kitchen, you see. Before that, she opened up the free clinic, the free dispensary. Cost nobody anything at all, that. And I used to, and my sister, used to roll these bandages and prepare the bowls on the table. And Miss Mansell, this
nurse,
professional nurse, she was an absolute picture, wonderful person to the children. And the sights of those children, perhaps their faces burnt, you know, you wouldn't know how to tackle them. Used to fall on the open fire, you see, no fire guards. You know, their fathers used to drink, you see. So, of course, they had no comforts.
Was there quite a lot of drinking in that area then?
Oh, every penny went on it. It was dreadful. And, of course, my father was so sane. And she used to come just to tap on the door and walk in. Mrs. Despard, she used to love to come in and see us all seated round the table, waiting for a piece of my father's tuppenny bloater. Oh, she used to think that was, you know, wonderful. Oh, Mr. Peters, there's nobody like you. You are coming to vote. Can I come and fetch you? Because he was very breathless, you see. And as I say, every evening and sometimes all day, she would have this stand where she stood in and preached, you know, and that about votes for women. And she used to thump away on that desk.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. And she was only like, very, very slight, like a lamppost, you know, she was so slim.
This was in the dispensary, was it? Or
this
where?
Was in the streets.
In the streets?
In the streets. Oh, yes, and every day or evening went past, she wasn't out there. And as I say, with the children, you never saw without a crowd of children. She'd be tapping them on the head. They followed her everywhere, the children.
Did she like children?
Oh, she was a lovable person. And as I say, my father was very fond, of course he was very intellectual, you see, and anything like that. He was from a Scottish family, my father, and she thought that was wonderful, you know, to have a chat with him. And as I say, this dispensary, I can see it now. It was a big corner place, it's still there, whatever it is, I don't know. Next door was a baker's that used to do joints and potatoes and all your vegetables for tuppence if you took it in, covered over, you know. And she, I understand, bought this corner that used to belong there, used to be part of their bakehouse underground. Up above were their living quarters, you see. Well, this dispensary was open all day and every day, all late at night. Work? Well, when I read that piece in the paper and I see all this on television about their, what destruction they did at the Houses of Parliament, this, that, and the other, smashing windows and that, I thought to myself, well, I'm going to reply to that and say I know the other side of it, which I did. It was wonderful work.
You said she came to your house to get your father out to vote, but your father didn't support the same party as her, did he? And he was Conservative.
Yes, rank Conservative.
She wasn't Conservative, was she? She was Labour.
She was Labour. Mm. My father learned that later on, but she used to come in, you see, and talk to my father. My father used to laugh and say, no, I'm very, very fond, and don't stop coming in, you know, various sayings. Mm. And he'd say, I'm not changing. Labour will never get in, he used to say. He always used to say that.
So they had an argument about politics
yes,
together?
Yes, they were very nice.
So she sounds as if she got on well then.
Oh, yes, she did. Yes, we were very fond of her. And she used to give us girls gym classes.
Did she?
Needlework classes. Yes.
Tell me about that.
It never cost us a penny. That was in our little St. James's Hall, Church Hall. Oh,
and
yes.
She took the classes herself?
Yes, lectured on good behaviour. And I mean, it wasn't really necessary. They were all very nice type of girls, really. Although we came from that area, there was one turning called Mother-in-Law Street, which was my friend at Guildford, who related to her father in the name of Young, and her mother's name was Nichols. And all those houses was 4 there and 10 here. They were all related, so they named it Mother-in-Law. And they were all lovely people. So we all used to sort of keep together as friends and go to this. You see, for sewing classes and gym. And she used to come and take our morning prayers at school, Sleaford Street Girls' School, where my friends were with me.
Did she really?
Oh,
so she was a real local personality?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And in the mornings her prayers were lovely, and sometimes it would be an evening. Yeah, she was very reverend. And, of course, our headmistress, Mrs. James, was very, very fond of her. Welcomed her.
Was it a Catholic school that you went to, or
no,
just an ordinary church? Ordinary
school.
So she wasn't trying to push her own religion or anything like that?
No. No. Just very, very genuine.
Can you describe the area? I mean, was it a working class district, would you say?
Oh, I should say. Yes, very, very.
A slum in a way, was it?
Oh, real slum. Yes.
Was it really?
Real slum. My father used to cry. He used to say, well, you know, my business is here, and until I can get a step forward, I can't move, you know, our living is here kind of thing. Mm. But once he stepped up and saved a bit of money, and he also saved, because St. John's Hospital, East Hill, used to have him in every winter because he was hopeless.
With
I used to have to fan him while my mother took his bowler off.
With his asthma, you mean, yes.
And they used to take him in, so where he saved £40 to give to the hospital, which was a lot of money then.
Yes.
And he went along, and they said, well, Mr. Peters, I'm afraid you'll have to come before a committee. We can't accept it just like that. And he went before the committee and insisted to help somebody else with it. Mm-hmm. That was £40. Yes, we had the receipt.
So you were very much a respectable working class family, were you? I mean,
well, we were. We were very homely. We had nothing, mind you. Mm. I mean, for our birthdays, my mother used to collect the new halfpennies at Christmas, put them in a hot pan, frying pan, put it on your plate, and we all thought she made them. That was our birthday.
Was it really?
Yeah. So we grew up, you know, not to expect any more. And you were afraid to spend it. You wouldn't dare spend it.
So was it just a fairly small group of streets then that Mrs. Despard looked after, or how big was the area?
The whole area. There were one, There was Everett Street, which was her business on the corner. Then that came right through here. Then there was Fonton Street that way, which they called Do As You Like Street because it had a block end, you see. Cul-de-sac where the girls could play skipping on this huge wide pavement almost as long as this. And then there was Curry Street. And then there was a little place called Flag Alley where the pavements were done in big flags. Oh, it was the most peculiar area, you know. And yet in the main road where the buses and trams used to run along Battersea Park Road, they were all lovely houses. Their fathers were directors of Mukes's Brewery that was along there. I don't think it's there now. And they were very well off, you know. But they were all friends of mine, you know. It was funny, really.
Did you have nicknames for the different streets then, like that? And was that quite common to have nicknames like
well,
that?
Well, it was street? There.
Was it really? Yes. It was a little sort of separate area.
Yes. There was nothing else, except on the corner there was a coffee house, beautiful people they were. Next to it was a little dairy. There was a shoe mender's, Jews, Ketz's. Used to mend the shoes and they was very fond of my father. Used to put some work in my father's way. And a little greengrocer's.
So it was a little community
all on its own.
Yes. So where did they work, the people who lived there then?
Well, they mainly worked in the gas works and the railway, you see. But of course, after the war was no work for anybody, they just queued up this factory and take one or two, you and the rest used to be turned away. Mm-hmm. And trades were gone, you know, there was nothing for the men.
So Mrs. Despard came in really at that time, did she?
Oh, she was right in the middle of all that, you see.
Yeah.
And this soup kitchen that she opened, the jam tarts, because in the Yours paper they published bread, but it wasn't. I stated it was jam tarts. And they used to make these huge big jam tarts. I can see them now. The pastry was beautiful. Homemade jam. And these great jugs of soup, which they used to supply to the people that couldn't afford tuppence for the two. They used to give it freely. And believe me, there weren't many paid 2 pence. I used to be there, you know. Mm. And there was one very nice person, I've forgotten her name. Not that she was only in the soup kitchen, she was a suffragette. And she had auburned, then it was very fashionable to have your hair cut bobbed, they called it. And I can't think, very, very thin she was, and I can't think of her name.
Not Dr. Knight, was she? Or
No.
I'm not sure. I tried hard, but
I can't. She was very nice. She was there.
But what was there then? There was this soup kitchen that handed out what, soup 3 times a day or what?
All day long. Anybody went there, it was always there. These jugs of hot soup. Beautifully clean.
And anyone who went could have some.
It used to be an old greengrocer's and they turned it into this. Mm. Talk about work. I mean, it annoys me at times because you see, I know all this. And that place, anybody could have eaten anything out of there. And these children used to come in filthy, dirty. How they coped with it? Of course, a lot of it was unnecessary. It was drink, you see. Well, my father, he knew what it was for us to just have that piece of bloater all round the table, one piece of bread. And he thought, well, you know, I should never see anybody go without, which he didn't. We never sat down after that without going, one of us, along the road to the first house. He was made redundant at the Rolls Razor when they closed down. And they had 5 little steps and stairs, and we used to save all our dripping, you know, in a Dundee jar, and bread and a half a crown, which was a lot of money then, we used to take along. And my father couldn't. He said, I can't sit down without thinking.
Mm-hmm. The people you took it to were unemployed after Rolls Royce,
yes,
Rolls Royce.
Yes.
I see. Mm. Yes.
There was no work for anybody.
Yeah.
But they were a genuine family. My father knew that and they never drank. He didn't mind what he gave. Mm. He was like that because he knew we'd had the circumstances.
So you had this sort of kitchen place in a sort of shop, was it? Really?
Yes, it was, an old greengrocer's, and they turned it into this lovely clean place. Mm. That was one corner here.
And what else did they do, just before you go on to the other things, you had soup and jam tarts.
Jam tarts.
What else did they give you there then?
That's all, that was all, yes. No bread or anything, it was just these lovely jam tarts and this very thick soup, vegetables and pea soup, and it was all homemade.
And did they have a sort of counter then?
Yes, a counter. Long counter there, I can see it now. And you went in there and their kitchen was through there, and this little counter here.
And you just hand over your tuppence if you had it.
Yes, if you had it. Yes.
And that was just for children, was it, or everybody?
Oh no, grown ups and children. According to how many in the family, you see.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
So was it, what was it called? The soup kitchen?
Yes. Yes, the soup kitchen.
So that's one side of it. What else did she have there then? Apart from that.
Well, across the way was this dispensary, you see, which had turned into a huge place.
Was it really?
Oh, it was as long as from this window to the end of the front of this house, and perhaps longer. Mm. Huge, great big place to keep up with.
Was it another shop then that had been adapted?
No, it had belonged to the bakers next door, Mitchell's, the bakers. But I believe it used to be the underground bakehouse.
And it was all underground, was it?
But this was above. This was pavement level, you see.
Mm.
And that was where they used to do all this bandaging and dispensary work. Was
how did that work then? Tell me about that. I mean, was it like a little hospital in a way?
Everything there, yes. She was a qualified nurse, Miss Mansell. Mm. And I don't know where she found her, but she was a suffragette also. And the children used to come in, you see, and there'd be all these little dollies and these little engines for the boys to pull along, which I used to have to hand out. Sometimes take them home as much as I didn't want. Oh dear, what places. Well, we had been very poor, but we had never wanted or, you know, and my father used to patch all our boots and shoes.
So you were very much, you were right-hand family for Mrs. Despard,
yes,
in a way, weren't you? You went and helped her in these places.
Altogether, I used to get 1 6 months a week. That was with chalking on the pavements and all on the walls.
Tell me about that. I didn't realize.
I never thought a word about it till my young granddaughter that did that picture came along one year, about 5 years ago, talking about votes for women. I don't know how it came up. I said, well, I'm the one that used to chalk it, Susan, on the walls. And she said, oh, you never did now. And I said, yes, I did. She said, who for? I said, the suffragettes.
What happened then? Did they tell you where to go or what and where to do it or what happened?
Yes, Mrs. Despard and the Pankhursts, of course, they were always there, said, would we go along the factory wall where all the men used to come out? You know, you've got to go past this long wall. They couldn't come this way, you see. So all along the brickwork, because it was all rubbed out by next day, all along the walls, all in between the brickwork, as big as you could put, and along the pavements, you see, because it went uphill like that. Well, if you wrote on the pavement that way, nobody could be off seeing it, you see.
So what would you write?
When the chalk ran out, I'd go all the way back. And by the time I got to the dog's home, the Battersea Dog's Home Bridge, which was two bridges, first one was Mill Pond Bridge, that was a mile, I'd go come all the way back for another stick of chalk.
What did you chalk then? Votes for women?
Votes for women.
Mm. Mm. And they sent you out then, did they, to different places to do that?
Yes, they had permission from the police. It was all, you know, because my father said, you know, well, for 6 months was a lot of money then, of course, to earn. That was my side of it, to take home. But it was all under permission from the police to do it.
And they paid you to do it, did they?
Sixpence for that.
Sixpence for what? Sixpence for one expedition, or what?
For the whole week.
Oh, my goodness
me, that was a lot of money.
Good Lord, yes.
And then, you see, by helping inside, sometimes, not very often, I helped my sister with the silver, but if Emily, her friend, was away or on holiday or anything, I used to then go in and help my sister clean all their silver, all their private stuff. Mm. Other than that, we were in there, you know, after school hours, rolling bandages. Wow. But because my sister, she did more than I did, because she was older, I had to go home and help my mother with the younger ones and get myself to bed, you see. Mm. And make a nice cup of tea, love. Please.
I was really wondering what there was in this dispensary. Was it just a big empty room?
Yes,
what was there then?
Yes, just a great big room and all their equipment and tables, you know, bowls and things like that. And these toys for the children. That was the only thing that occupied that place. And chairs, of course.
Mm. But why couldn't they go to hospital?
Well, you see, that was on the spot, wasn't it? You see, they all only had to come from any corner, and they were in,
yes.
You see?
Yes.
I mean, to get to St. Thomas's from there was a hell of a wait. They couldn't go by a bus or a tram or anything. They hadn't got the money.
And it was all free anyway, in the dispensary, I suppose, wasn't it?
Yeah. They hadn't got money for a tram. Yeah. Halfpenny tram ride, nobody had a halfpenny.
Yes.
It's true.
Yes. So you go along there for small things, like if you had a burn or a cut or something like that. I mean, it would be sort of small jobs, really.
Yes. It was all for the, mainly for the children that fell on these fires.
Was it really?
But if the mothers had an accident, you know, through worry, which did happen a lot round there, then she used to, well, didn't matter who it was, they were treated. I tell you, they worked night and day in that area. They really did.
That's famous. So there's the soup kitchen, the dispensary. Is there anything else?
No, there wasn't anything else in that area. That was their life's work. And it was work. It was incessant.
So above the dispensary, there was a private sort of accommodation.
Yes, yes.
Is that where Mrs. Despard lived?
Yes.
I see.
You see, the place in Mayfield was her retreat. I don't know what happened to it.
It was a big sort of country house.
Yes,
place, wasn't it?
My sister said it was lovely. Yes. She loved it there.
Yes.
I believe at the time there were three gardeners. We had lovely pictures, postcards, but I haven't got them now.
So, did you ever go into Mrs. Despard's own private park?
No, only my sister. Mm. No. And when there was nothing on in the dispensary or she got the silver, she used to bring it down, you see. No, it was very private up there. And because there was all people up there, there was all suffragettes up there holding their meetings and always lived there.
What did Miss Mansell look like? Do you remember her?
Pardon?
What did Miss Mansell look like? Do you remember
her? Oh, I remember her, yes. She was fairly tall and very, very pleasant, lovely rosy cheeks and clean. She had stiff collars, stiff collar and white cuffs. Blue print and white starched apron, which my sister also wore, and me when we were helping. And she was absolute picture, lovely person. Well, as I say, she was qualified nurse for
and
the
job. And she got on with the children as well, did
oh,
she?
Yes. Oh, they never minded coming in. Of course, they were crying, poor little souls, you can imagine. You know what burning's like. Tiny little babies sometimes.
But why didn't the mothers get a fire guard then?
Because they hadn't got the money. If their husbands didn't drink at a penny a pint or whatever it was, they would have saved their coffers as my father and had a fire guard, which was only a half a crown to buy in those days. That's all they were.
I suppose the families were so big,
neglect.
Weren't they, that the mothers couldn't keep
neglect.
Control.
It was neglect. Sheer neglect. And you couldn't help feeling sorry. Well, one year in my father's travels to one of these big hotels, they said, Mr. Peters, are you interested in gentlemen's suits? It appears, I don't know whether they do it now, these gents stay in these hotels and they leave their suits behind. And they've got piles and piles of them. My father gave one look. He said, well, I know what I can do. I'll find out. Will you give me, you know, a certain date to contact you? I'll let you know. And anyway, we had a certain Jew my father used to, Mr. Yes, his name was, in the East End, and he used to do and recommend my father in a lot of work. And he said to my father, well, if you buy them at so-and-so, I'll turn all the trousers into lovely little knickers for those children in that area. I'll line them all, which he did, and they were like new. We sold them at fourpence a pair. Of course, the little boys used to run around with nothing. Just old knickers, all the backsides out. Oh, it was a dreadful thing. And now you see people, those people are not in that position. But unless you've lived amongst it, oh, it was dreadful. And you know, we used to have to queue up on Vauxhall Bridge to buy bread that was left over from the day before at 6 o'clock in the morning. Take a pillow slip, I've done it, in the fog, wrapped up. But boots on our feet. Some of those had nothing on their feet, but my father used to stay up all night patching our boots. And you know, there was a little tiny baker's opposite Hovis's on the other corner. It's a newsagent's now. And we used to queue there, unlucky for you if you got there and they were sold out. And that Vauxhall Bridge used to be swaying with children queuing for bread.
Didn't they, You said there was St. Joseph's Hall, where you had
St. James's Hall.
What was that then?
That was our church, right in the middle of that little area.
Oh, I see. Yes. That was an Anglican, Church of England.
Yes.
Yes, I see. So you used to have meetings there?
Yes.
Like that. It's probably not there now, isn't it?
Yes, I believe so. They say I hadn't been there.
Mm-hmm. So Mrs. Despard had her PT class there, didn't she?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, she gave a lot of pleasure. And the lecture she used to give on good behaviour, because, mind you, it was an area that needed it. Not that we were the ones.
What do you mean by that, really, good behaviour? I mean manners? Or?
You see, there were a lot of roughs in that area. You know, boys that, I don't say do what they do now, but when Mrs. Despard was holding a meeting, you'd get these boys coming around and being rude, and they had to be sent away, you see, and all that kind of thing. That's why it was.
What sort of things would she talk about then?
Well, she'd instill into us that we were living in a poor area, but we didn't have to be like those, you see, and we would have to carry on. We were in good homes, we got good parents, and she would instill it into you that you were lucky. Well, we were. Mm. To live in an area and come out of it, and then to be brought down here.
So
I used to bring my sister Molly, as they called her, my sister Mary, on holiday here. When my family grew up, I'd got my twins courting then, they're now 41. When all my brothers and sisters were married, except for one, my sister was in flat spinal case, and I used to bring her down here on holiday, didn't I, Arthur, in a long spinal carriage. I used to book a Victoria Guards van and bring her down here in that carriage and take her all round where she'd never been, see things that she'd never seen, you see. Mm. So that was how she ended her days, but she had been in that bedroom 10 solid years when that house was, you know, during the war, if you evacuated, you had to give that house to the council, the Battersea Borough, to put people in that were being blitzed out, which we did. So that wasn't derequisitioned till years after the war. And what a state that was in.
I think your kettle's boiling, isn't it?
Yes, it's boiling, Arthur.
You see, I'm just trying to understand, because they're all quite a different world for me, you know.
Yes, all that. But
do you think, I mean, would it be right to put it this way, that Mrs. Despard was trying to create a group of respectable working people around her so that they could influence the whole neighbourhood?
Yes.
Did you think that's what was going
as on? As well, yes, on top of everything else she did. Oh, yes. And for her and the Salvation Army, well, they saved that place. Mm. They really saved it, because the Salvation Army used to come round to the drunks, you know, went all among these drunks. Mm.
Did they have a base nearby, the Salvation Army?
It was about... a couple of miles away. Was it in up towards Wandsworth, big corner place? It's still there.
They sent people out.
From there. That's why I never passed the Salvation Army, because we used to have Christmas dinners. Mm. But once, I'm not sure about this, whether Mrs. Despard had anything to do with these Christmas dinner tickets that were sent so many to each school. Mm. I think it was about 10. So that they went from the top standard to the very poorest and right down through the classes to find who was the poorest, you see. Not regards how they were sent to school. Oh, no. We had a headmistress like Lady Despard, you see. She was very thorough. And she would pick out these children who she knew were genuine, you know. I mean, we're all poor. But... And one year, my sister and I were given two tickets, and my father said, oh no, he said, I should be home this Christmas after all these years. Now take them back to school and give them to somebody else poorer than ourselves. And that's as true as I sit here.
Mm. When did you move out of the area?
Well, we moved out of there, 57 years ago, and what date that was now.
That would be 1920, wouldn't it?
Just after the World War. Well, it wasn't very many years after, two or three years after that he bought that house.
And then you went up socially.
And then my brother, my eldest brother, he said, well, you know, we won't sell this house, or shall we, he said, I'll have a mortgage off it. Well, I've seen a big house in Clapham, which was just off the Clapham Road. Beautiful house my brother bought. That had to be shelled. Mm. So we were all squandered about.
But so you really were there from the age of nothing till the age of about 20?
1902.
Mm. I was born. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so you left
I'm
there
going
about
back
18.
64 years this month. Mm.
Still, it's very vivid when you're older, isn't it?
Yeah.
You remember these things.
Yes, it's funny, you do. Mm. Yes.
But they also had suffragette meetings there, did they?
Oh, yes, all their meetings were held there. I didn't like the Pankhurst sisters very much. I don't best not put that in because they used to drink.
Did they really?
And I grew up to loathe it, you know, living in an area.
Mm. You were a teetotal family, were you?
Yes, days of temperance instilled into us.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, they just come round signing the pledge. Mm. We had some wonderful Sunday school teachers.
You went to the Anglican Church of England Sunday school, did you?
Yeah.
Yes, I see. Mm. What happened there? Can you remember what you learned at the Sunday school?
The Sunday school, my word, you learned everything that was reverend. We had a Mr. Ede and his brother, they worked in the railway offices, which was a very good job. And they married the lady teachers there. And talk about wonderful people they were. Oh, they were real Christians.
Did you read the Bible then, or what did you do then?
Oh, yes. We attended all the Band of Hopes, were wonderful. And every Band of Hope Thursday night was a treat because the Salvation Army used to come round with a lovely bun in a bag and an orange to take home. They supplied. Perhaps it would be 40 or 50 there, you know. Mm. Wonderful. And a big mug of cocoa if it was winter time. Lovely cream all floating around the top of the mug.
What did you do at the Band of Hope then, Mrs. Wells?
Well, we sang, of course, all the hymns, you know, Jesus Business Shine and all those lovely children's hymns. And then we used to have a missionary or somebody just back, you know. And, well, you never forgot it. Those were our days, you see.
Did you play games at all?
We had a bit of musical drill it was. Somebody used to play and we used to have just a little musical drill before the service and then it was an evening, you know, hymn and another one when we came away. The same in day school. We had a morning and evening hymn always.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm. God be with you till we meet again every night.
So that was Thursdays and Sunday you went to Sunday school. What else did you do there then as a child? Did you go to any other?
No, that was my outlet. School and that, and looking after all the other younger ones underneath me, coming home Monday night and doing all the washing for Mother when I was 10.
Did you?
Yeah, and it had to be done properly. I did belong to netball at the school, but I used to have to hurry home if I was in a game, you know, against other schools. I used to run all the way home. But we used to go back and forth to school, you know, home to meals and all polished up shoes and everything to go back, which was nearly 2 miles, there and back, and hot summer days running along. And then the governess, our governess, she lost her one and only son, Eric, Captain James, Eric. Yes.
What difference did the war make then, really? All the men went away, of course,
yes.
I suppose, didn't they?
Yes. And when they were blinded at Mons, they couldn't get the others to go. Do you know what they used to do? They formed a band, a brass band, and they used to come round and round the houses trying to encourage, you know, the men to join up. And so if they didn't, they used to, this is what happened exactly, they used to get them drunk, absolutely drunk, get them to the station, Waterloo, and then push them in the carriages so that they would go. Because they didn't want to go after the Mons. Mm. And so the girls were left to perhaps getting their homes together engaged and there was hundreds went from that area, killed, missing, and bought the newspaper every day, the whole list, missing, died, wounded. Mm. Twice a day you would buy a paper to find out. Halfpenny paper.
What was it like for the wives there, do you think, the women?
People? Oh, dreadful.
I mean, was there a lot of wife beating and things like that went on there, do you think? You know, husbands hitting wives and that sort of thing.
Well, with drunks, yes, all that did go on because you saw it, you know. You wouldn't dare, you couldn't get involved. There was too much of it, you know what I mean? But you saw it.
In the street?
Yes, that was the case there. My father used to have to cross over on the other side of the road for me to go to Sunday school, on the quiet side, take me across and meet me. Oh, yes. And my old school friend, she, when she was going home, father always took her home. Halfpenny ride on the tram and used to take her home. He would never allow her to go back on her own.
Because of the drunks?
It was drink. And you see, at that time, they were building this Sloane Square underground. And a whacking great big Irishmen were over. And it was mainly them, really and truly, that created the scenes. On a Sunday, it was dreadful. You had a job, you know, to wonder which way to go.
There were pubs in this area, were there?
Yes, how many? Three. One, two, three. Public houses in a little place like that.
So I suppose outside the pubs on a Sunday there'd be a lot of people.
Yes, all out on the pavement. Yes.
Yeah.
Dreadful place it was.
You can understand why people were teetotal in that set up, can't you?
I should say. Well, when my brother bought this house at Clapham after my dad's other house, well, it really was. Private back way, lovely garden, grapevines. Conservatory, and then that had to be blitzed. 1939, one of the first blitz. So then we were given a flat by my husband's firm, where we lived there for 14 years, and then we were blitzed, so we went to Cambridge.
Nice.
But I'd never been to Cambridge in my life before. We never had the money. You see, when we went from the Sunday school outings in these hay carts, we went as far as Riddlesdown, Epsom Downs, or Ashted Woods,
or
Epping Forest. Yeah.
You went on outings then
from the Sunday school. Yes.
Really? In the summer was that?
Yes, that was our treat.
And used to be effective then to see the schools go out.
Oh, and the horses used to be dressed up, and the hay carts all polished. And we'd have about three full of children, you know. And I used to make these bags because we'd have about, if we were lucky, two or three pence to spend to bring our people back some flowers, something like that, you see. And I used to sit and make these on Mother's machine, which we weren't allowed to use it till we were 14. And I've got one in there.
Bags to put their money in?
Yes, just shoulder, cotton bags with a button and a hole, you know. Put their coppers in. And I used to sell those at a halfpenny and a penny each, if they were tiny ones, for the little ones at the halfpenny.
So these outings, would there only be one every year? Every year, once a year.
They used to run them down.
We thought we were going to the other end of the world because we were going out.
And what did you do then? Did you have to pay to go on
there? No. Oh, no, it was our outing. Oh, no, it was all through the church, you see, and the Sunday school teachers, all they were wonderful people. We used to have great big marquees, you know, to go in and have tea. And sat racing and, you know, three-legged race.
What happened? What do you gather in the morning, would you say?